At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Murder in the Morning with Tony Bruschi and Stacey Cole.
I picture this. Your husband gets arrested for allegedly being a serial killer who murdered 7 women over 2 decades. And your first thought isn't horror or disgust, but excitement about your upcoming prison visit, feeling like a first date. That's exactly what Asa Elrup reveals in the new Peacock documentary titled The Gilgo Beach Killer, House of Secrets.
Wow. Things I did not have on my bingo card for this week.
No, me either. I literally just put this story together right before we got on the air. It's been a busy day. And I am literally learning this as we go because I haven't had a chance. I haven't watched the trailer yet. I've scanned the story, but it's all together. So we're learning as we go. This is the 50 Cent one, by the way. If anybody's wondering, we've been waiting for that one. This is the 50 Cent G-Unit production that it's been in the talks in the works forever. This is her in her own words. And we know
because we needed that.
Because everyone who's been hurt in their own words lately with their own doc, it always works out so well in the end. It just
right?
works great. We are going to watch the trailer. We're going to watch a clip from it as well in just a few moments about this. And as we dive into this deeply unsettling story, little backstory, Rex Hiraman, the 61-year-old Manhattan architect, gets dragged out of his office in July of 23 for allegedly being the Gilgo Beach serial killer who terrorized Long Island for more than a decade. The guy's charged with 7 murders spanning from 93 to 2011. And the evidence against him is overwhelming. We're talking DNA evidence, hair fibers from his family members found on victims, cell phone data placing him near the actual crimes, and a literal planning document detailing his alleged killings that they found in the little basement dungeon thing that he and
I'm gonna shared. I'm gonna give him a little bit of props here. Just out of selfishness, because I thought I heard it was an Excel document. And damn, not everybody knows how to use Excel. Just saying.
That's true.
Well, he
was an architect. So, I mean, the guy was smart. I mean, nobody's arguing that he was an idiot. And also, he got away with it for decades, too. So this was
allegedly.
No stupid man. You know, this is a guy that, you know, probably crazy smart. And that's mm-hmm. how he was able to do all of this and live this life. That's what you mean. There's plenty of idiotic criminals out there, but the ones that pull it off to this level, imagine if it had been used for good. And I guess some of it was in this architecture firm, but put that extra part of energy of killing sex workers over to your real work. And maybe, look, you could have probably built a whole lot of other things or maybe, you know, got the hoard out of your house. I don't know.
Yeah, use your power for good. Yeah. I mean, if you were that big and powerful, yeah. which he physically was.
He was an ogre.
Do something great with it.
No. Oh, well, he, I guess, did what he thought was great with it. Now, most spouses in this situation would be calling divorce lawyers immediately, but Asa Elrup, she doubles down completely throughout this 3-part documentary. dropping, well, when you're seeing this, probably today, if it's you're watching this on its first run, June 10th, 2025 is when it's dropped. She's calling her allegedly murderous husband a hero and a savior.
Oh, why? What is going on here?
This got far worse than I was expecting. Oh, my goodness.
What is what? Okay, she's a victim, because this is some weird terminology to use about your spouse. Unless your spouse has just become Pope.
Which, you know, actually, I saw something like some thing on TikTok when the Pope became the Pope, the new one from Chicago. Mm-hmm. And it was like something about back in somebody's youth, like their mom or somebody, like it was like a elementary school type relationship. And it was like her boyfriend or something. And they're like, oh my God, mom dated the Pope.
That Pope.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, they were people too. But yeah, it's, yeah. This documentary gives us the first ever look inside their Massapequa Park home after police searches, boxes piled to the ceiling, belongings scattered everywhere, a bathtub literally cut open, and holes punched through walls. Asa's daughter, Victoria, describes as the cops trying to leave us for dead, which seems rich considering that her father allegedly did that to 7 actual women. Here's where it gets truly twisted. Asa explains why she wanted to move back into what the media is calling the murder house. She says there's sentimental stuff there, and quote, I still feel Rex is here.
Oh, he's not dead.
Oh, I got
it. He's not dead. Come on, people.
That gives me the
killing
shivers.
Me, Smalls.
That gives me the shivers. And if they ain't looking into her yet, you might want to look into her. Maybe.
Do you think do you think this is going to have the same effect, the Karen Reed effect?
Yeah, I do.
She's going to say something stupid during this because she just feels like she can just let it all out.
And that's why they probably haven't arrested her yet. They were just like, let her sink the boat. we'll let this documentary crew do all the investigating for us.
Yeah.
And then we can take a look at the footage and, yeah. At least that's how it's feeling thus far. That's how they want us to feel, at least according to the trailers and what we're talking about here. And we will watch the trailer here in just a few moments. I still feel like Rex is here. Oh, that is creepy. That's one of the creepiest things I think I've heard in a very long time. I still feel like Rex is here.
Ew.
You're gonna have nightmares about that. You're gonna hear it whispered in the hallway. I still feel like Rex is here. I still feel like Rex is here. If you say it 3 times, Rex appears, actually. It's like Beetlejuice. If my house was allegedly the scene of multiple murders, the only thing I'd be feeling is the urgent need for very thorough sage cleansing. But Asa's treating it like a romantic shrine to their 29-year marriage. The woman's backstory explains everything. She met Rex when she was at the tender age of 18, working at a 7-Eleven, fresh off being molested, having attempted suicide, and surviving what sounds like a kidnapping attempt where she hid in a dumpster for hours. Rex swooped in, and she's been viewing him through rose-colored glasses ever since.
Did we know this story?
No, we're all finding this out together at the same time.
So does she have like, what's it called when you identify with your captor?
It's textbook trauma bonding that explains why she can't see reality. What you're speaking of, yeah.
I can't think of it. I know everybody out there is going, they're yelling it at their device.
Yeah.
It's not Munchausen's.
Look it up while I continue, and you can bring us the breaking update of what that word is, because it's going to bug me. During their prison phone calls, which the documentary captures, Asa tells Rex she's doing great now that I've got you on the phone. She describes wanting to tell him she loves him, but holds back, not because she doubts his innocence, but because saying I love you no matter what would imply there's actually something to love him despite. The kids.
Stockholm syndrome, by the way.
Yes. The kids, Victoria and Christopher, are caught in their own nightmare. Victoria worked at her dad's architecture firm and now can't find employment anywhere. Christopher has developmental disabilities and has been so traumatized he can't even walk his dog without photographers stalking him. Their attorney describes their existence as a surreal waking horror show. Now, here's where the legal drama explodes. The Huerman family allegedly received around $1 million for participating in this documentary, and it's causing absolute uproar. Suffolk County District Attorney Ray Tierney is calling Asa a fame-seeking opportunist, warning that her participation will affect her credibility and suggesting she's trying to capitalize on her husband's notoriety. This has prompted New York legislators to propose expansions to the Son of Sam laws that would prevent family members from profiting off of criminal notoriety. The irony is delicious because the original Son of Sam law was created to stop serial killers from making money off their crimes, and now it might be expanded because of the serial killer's wife making money off of his alleged crimes. Interesting. Victims' families are understandably livid. One attorney called Asa a ghoul feeding on the dead, which is kind of harsh, but not entirely unfair. When somebody's allegedly murdered seven women and your response is to cash a $1 million check to tell your side of the story, the optics are somewhere between tone deaf and sociopathic. What makes this documentary particularly fascinating is watching the cognitive dissonance in real time. Asa's sitting here with DNA evidence, planning documents, and a mountain of circumstantial evidence pointing to her husband being a serial killer. And she's essentially saying, nah, that's not my Rex. The timing is also allegedly problematic and legally problematic because Rex's trial hasn't happened yet. Legal experts warn that anything the family says on camera could potentially be used as evidence, turning what's supposed to be their defense into their into the prosecution. Curtis 50 Cent Jackson is the one behind all of this. This is the one you've been waiting for. And the one that we are going to take a look at right now.
Do I have to? You know my feelings on this.
I know you're not a big fan of the old Rex.
No. The old Rexter. Sorry.
Old He's Rexter. Just... Yeah. We're going to watch.
You know, sometimes when I'm at my martial arts class, which I just started 4 months ago now, sometimes I picture him when I'm defending and sparring with people.
It's probably a good person to picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's big, so I try to find the biggest person I can, and okay, come at me. Let's see what I can do.
You pick the
other. I wouldn't fuck with me. I'm learning how to use a knife really well. Let's just put it that way. But he's inspired me, and any woman listening, you know, it doesn't
Rex has inspired
you
to
defend yourself. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. I hear what you're saying. Yep. Yeah, okay.
Just to get off my ass, and you know what? It's time to learn how to defend yourself because. You never know when you might be in a situation where you have to do something, life or death, you know?
I agree, and I think it's good and great to have those skills. I don't know that inspiring is the right word, though. I think it's more like traumatized inspired, because it's more like it's fear-based, you're going and doing, but it's a good thing. It's good to have that in the event that something like that would happen. It also gives you more confidence. You don't have to have the fear, but you got to kind of go through that cycle to get there.
It's a really good point. Yeah. Inspiration sounds like it should be a fun, wonderful thing.
Inspired by Rex Huerman.
Well, maybe it lit a fire under my ass. Let's
I like
put it
it.
That way.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, it did. I think that's a good thing, as Martha would say. Okay. Let's watch the preview here for this documentary on Peacock as of June 10th. Can't believe we're already at June 10th of 2025. Here we go. And then we'll watch a clip from it as well. This is the trailer.
The question everyone keeps asking is, how could you not know?
The Gilgo 4 was one of America's longest serial killer cold cases. After 13 years, this bombshell drops.
Rex Huerman, architect, father, husband.
He basically was the person that lived next door.
He was a monster, living a double life.
One person saying this, one person saying that, but my memory says this.
There's so much evidence against you. I don't even believe you, and you're my best friend. Convince me, give me something. Did you do it?
Rex Huerman insists through his lawyer that he's innocent.
Is it possible that no family ever suspected that something was off about this guy?
The most mysterious figure is Rex's wife.
The investigator says to me, have you heard about the murders on Gilgo Beach? I've heard of them.
The idea that the wife didn't know anything is hard to believe.
Does everybody really believe everything they hear?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Hello.
Yeah, when
How
the
you
evidence
doing?
Points to you, yeah.
I'm doing great, now that I've got you on the phone.
All right. So there's that. Oh, and here's a clip from it as well. Let's take a look.
When we got back home, after they raided it, it was not recognizable. No beds, no clothes. Our bathroom sink was broken. They should have actually deemed our house uninhabitable.
Oh, look at this.
It was as if they were trying to leave us for dead.
They broke that,
didn't
they?
They just pulled this out of the wall.
They pulled it out of the wall. I think that's what that hole in the wall was from.
What is in here?
Garbage, nothing.
Well, something was in here because it's not in here now. The kids, they were crying themselves to sleep before we actually got into the house. We were all doing it. Fear, anxiety, guilt, all of those emotions are all going like a roller coaster, rolling, rolling, and rolling, and rolling. But we needed to come home. They have a lot of sentimental stuff in the house. And I still feel Rex is here.
Oh, Jesus. Well, she's further out there than I was ever guessing she would be.
You know, I understand this is your family unit that's been ripped apart. Your home's been ripped apart. This is the only life you know. It's real easy to sit here and criticize. However, at some point you have to step back and go, wow, the evidence is really stacked against dad, husband, friend. At what point do you just kind of look and go, okay, I'm out. I loved you.
Yeah.
This is too much.
And clearly at no point prior either. I mean, I have so many questions I hope get answered in this. Like, did you know that he's out? Because it seems to be his thing is not necessarily murdering that does she know, but that he's out with sex workers, you know, on a fairly regular basis. Was that okay with your marriage or like what was, I want to know what this setup is like, what, or is it, maybe it's like what we talked about in the story itself of, she just feels so ridiculously indebted to this guy that he could do anything he wanted.
And it may just be the dynamic that's how it's always been with them. She doesn't know anything different.
Yeah.
She's not trying to find out anything different.
Yeah.
He does what he wants. He is her white knight. You know.
She never heard the Reba song, Is There Life Out There?
She didn't. You really should listen to it.
Because all of a sudden she has an awakening in like the end of the documentary. It's like,
And she I'm a survivor, married. The theme from the Reba show.
Yeah.
And
then Reba comes out and saves her. That's how the documentary ends. And then Fitty and Reba do a duet of in the club to the tune of Fancy. Yeah. Yeah.
You like Reba, don't you?
No, there's like two Reba songs I like. That's about it.
See, I love her. I missed a chance to see her in, gosh, it must have been 2020.
Yeah.
Like right when concerts started back up. She was in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And there was like no restrictions on what you should or shouldn't do. And a whole bunch of people I knew had COVID. And I'm like, I'm not going to stick myself in an arena. Yeah. I'm just not.
At that moment in time, yeah.
No. So I didn't go to the concert, but I talked to her promoter and they refunded our money. They were very nice about it.
That's nice. Yeah. I've seen her a few times. Always, she's a great performer. I mean, I have nothing. I'm not a big country music person to begin with.
Which you were working in country for a while.
I worked
too.
In country longer than any other format.
That's probably why you don't like it.
Well, I never was into it to begin. Like there's some, there are some that I like, but it's not much.
I worked in country for 4 years.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
Yeah. It's just, there's some stuff I like, but I don't know. Other formats are what I dig. But Is Your Life Out There is a great Reba song, though. That's a good one. Like,
yeah, especially if you're going through some relationship stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
Holy cats.
Yeah.
That's kind of the Alanis Morissette, you ought to know, country version.
With
isn't
a
it?
Nicer tone to it.
Yeah, a little bit. A little less middle finger.
Asa, you need to listen to Is There Life Out There from Reba. It will change your life.
Music is healing.
It will be very interesting. The whole thing comes out. It's a 3-part documentary. That's our preview of it. And we'll watch it and then we'll discuss. We'll do a book report on it and everything. And we also have projects where you have to make a claymation recreation of Rex Heuermann on the beach.
You're going to make me watch this thing, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Damn it.
It's required Damn watching. This is like Hatchet.
This is like required watching for my job. I don't know how to handle that.
It's like you have to read Hatchet in like sixth grade or seventh grade or whatever the hell it was. What grade? I think it's like seventh because Harp's about to go into seventh. So
I have never read that. So
you've never read Hatchet? That wasn't part of your.
No.
Wow. Mm-mm. Wow. They were.
No, is that weird?
It's not very cultural there in Minnesota.
Oh, we were.
I'm kidding. No, I don't know.
I went to Eden Prairie High School. They're all highfalutin now.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, they were back then.
I'm just kidding. I it seemed like for a lot of schools though, it was like a required read. I couldn't tell you what it's about. I don't remember anymore. But I remember it was a required read for one of those grades. And if I heard it, I'd be like, oh, okay. Then it would probably come back to me. It's like that other one, the good, what the hell was it? The Giver, it was another one where it was a very kind of psychological make you think.
Now that you say that, there's a couple of like legendary books that I have not read.
Yeah. I've
didn't have to read them in school. Like Huck Finn, never read that.
I didn't either, and I don't know. I can't. I just
maybe we should.
It. I'll audiobook it. I'll do that. I don't have it down here, but Siobhan Scott, who's on the program quite often, she has a new book, and the copy I have, I already took upstairs because I was reading it. I finished it this weekend, and we're going to have her on. Is it this week? Is it?
Yes, it's this week. Okay. We record Thursday. It will air Friday.
Okay, awesome. That'll be really, really interesting. Her memoir about her life and the trauma that she has gone through and finding ways to heal from it. You'll find a lot of the behavior of people in it reminiscent of a lot of the folks that we talk about every single day in these cases. So it's a good one. It's a good read. It's called
Nightbird.
I was going to say Freebird. Like Freebird.
Well, that's a little different, dude.
Like, I don't think it's Freebird. Nightbird. You can get it on Audible. That's how I ended up doing it. She does the read on it. It's a really good read. I especially liked her inflections when she was talking about, like, she'd do an older person, like, impersonation. Yeah. And she did really good at them. There was, like,
she's amazing. I didn't know that she had this talent. We've been doing some, we've got a little podcast brewing on the side that we're working on. And, mm-hmm. and she's very straight-laced during it.
Yeah.
Very professional. But she's got a side to her that I think we could tap into.
Oh, yeah. She's great. Yeah.
Yeah. She's lovely. I think people are really going to love this book. But I would do the audiobook personally.
Yeah. I mean, either. I started with the physical. Then I went to the audiobook when I was driving. And it's just a really, really interesting, very good book. Nightbird, Siobhan Scott.
Nightbird, Freebird.
Not Freebird. Anyway, that's that for today. There's a lot. The trial coverage of all of the audio from Daybell to
Reed.
Karen Reed. Diddy doesn't have audio, but of course we do the recaps. There's no court on Monday today that we're recording, but it should be back on Tuesday. There you go.
Preston's Karen Reed wrapped early, so anything there's a lot of stuff to go over at some point. It was not ruled a mistrial. They certainly tried for that.
I'll be putting together the full recap to push out there as well, so you can find it in the feed, so you don't miss. Any of that for today? Another interesting one, as per usual. All right, that's all for now. Bye-bye.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.